The passage in John's Gospel, chapter 8, where the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with the woman taken in adultery and then spoke to the people, took place in the temple in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles. A period of harvest, also a memorial of the wilderness wanderings and the thanksgiving for God's gracious provision for his people. At this time, the people built ornamental booths and they lived in them for a week to commemorate their living in tents in the wilderness. And on the last great day of the feast, there were two very special ceremonies that took place. There was a priestly procession with a golden pitcher of water from the pool of Siloam to the temple, and there was the lighting of a seven-stemmed candelabra in the temple courtyard. And it was at this sort of time that the Lord Jesus Christ gave these words: "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And we see from these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, the great need for light. The great need for light. The world is dark. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that the world is in darkness. Not merely the absence of light, but a force actively opposed to light. Society is dark. Culture is dark. Man's mind is dark. This is no modern phenomenon. This is no recent occurrence. We see that even in these passages where we find the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and the people opposed to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world in which we live is dark, and we should not deceive ourselves into thinking that somehow it can be made better, that somehow with an alteration in behavior, an alteration in culture, an alteration in the way that people live, that somehow by law our society, our culture can be made light. It can't. It is dark. And it is bound to be dark because man's heart is dark. Man is dead in his trespasses and sins. And until he receives the light of Christ, he will continue to live and to walk in darkness. His mind will be occupied with dark thoughts, dark and wicked and evil thoughts. Even the most cultured of men and women are by nature dark. Sometimes we think somehow that people and society can be reformed. It can't. It can't. Or it can be changed. It can be changed as men and women come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, and as Christian people begin to live to the honour and praise and glory of God. But the world is dark. There is a great need for light. But we also see the great need for light in the illustration of the people of Israel as they required the light, the pillar of fire, through the wilderness. They needed guidance because the world was dark. God had released them from their bondage in Egypt, and he had brought them into the wilderness. And in order that they would walk a straight path, he gave them this pillar of fire by night, so that by day and night they would have direction. Now Jesus tells the people that he is the light of the world. Not the light of the people of Israel, but he is the light of the world. And light symbolizes certain things. Light symbolizes purity. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 15, we read, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So we need light because we need purity. But light symbolizes life. Without life, nothing can live. Seems a silly thing to say, doesn't it? But without light, nothing can live. In Psalm 97 and verse 11, for all those that be righteous, sown is a joyful light. Light also symbolizes knowledge. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the truth. But light also symbolizes glory. Purity, life, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and glory. Christ is the pure radiance of God. So light symbolizes these things. So we need light. And this light, says Jesus, is available for the whole world. I am the light of the world. And Jesus is the light of the world because, first of all, he is God. I am. I am. He is the brightness of God's glory. He says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. We need light. We need the light of the gospel. We need the light of Christ. We need to see his purity, his glory, his majesty, his holiness. The great need for light. But the second thing that we want to see here is the great response to the light. The statement that Jesus made when he said, I am the light of the world, was not meant to be a simple theological proposition. It was a declaration that was to elicit a response. There was to be a response to this great statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. There is an exhortation here to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the Israelites were to follow this pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night, as they sought to navigate their way through the wilderness, so the Lord Jesus Christ leads his people through the darkness of this present age. He who follows me, said Jesus. When he says he who follows me, we could put it this way. He who follows my word. He who follows my direction shall not walk in darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised to lead his people through the darkness of this world. We are ever aware of the darkness of this world. We see it in our own hearts. We see it all around us. We hear it as we listen to men and women, as we see the direction that governments would take us. We are aware of the darkness of this world, and we are to live in this world. But we have this promise from the Lord Jesus Christ that if we follow him, he will lead us through this darkness. He will lead us in a safe path, in a sure path, in a certain path. And to believe in the way that he leads, even when it seems hard, even when we think that perhaps he is leading us in the wrong direction. And we do sometimes think that. Sometimes the way of obedience is hard. To obey what God says to us in our everyday lives is sometimes hard. But Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness." Do we sometimes walk in darkness because we do not follow the light of the world? Because we do not follow the light that shines from God's word? Sometimes we deviate from the path that God would direct us because we don't know his word well enough. Because we don't rely upon his word often enough. Because we don't consult his word often enough. And so we go astray. We accept the leading from other people rather than from the word of God. The statement of Jesus is an exhortation to follow him. But not only that, to follow the light is to reject all other means of enlightenment, whether from within the church or from without. There are many false ways and false lights that can lead the believer astray. How often have we heard people urging us to forsake the old paths, to forsake the way that our forefathers have walked, to walk in new directions, in directions that are conjured up by the so-called best brains in the church, and we are to follow them. But if we are to walk according to the light, if we are to follow the light, we are to reject all other means of enlightenment. Our way is laid out in the scriptures. Our cry should be, what says the scriptures? What does the Bible say about how I should live? What does the Bible say about how I should treat my family? What does the Bible say about how I should do my work? What does the Bible say about how we should conduct worship in the church? What does the Bible say about how we should live day by day? That is to follow the light and to reject all other means of enlightenment, no matter in what kind of words they're presented to us, how soothing and pleasant they can be. We are to follow the light and to reject all other means of enlightenment, whether from within the church or from without. We know that there are many false ways and false lights that can lead the believer astray. I was reminded of that again today, here in this town. As we drove past the Jehovah's Witnesses, and we drove past the Mormons, and we drove past all kinds of different religious expressions. And there are different lights. They say, follow our light, follow our way. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Follow this light. Follow my light. And of course, to follow the light is only possible for the one who has been born again of the Spirit of God. The light is bright enough to draw all men, to lead all men. That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The light is bright enough to draw men and women from Scotland, from the United Kingdom, from Ireland, from Africa, from Asia, from South America. The light is bright enough. But the natural mind is blind, and he cannot see the light. No matter how bright the light, the blind cannot see. To follow the light is only possible for those who have been born again of the Spirit of God. That's the response that there must be to this statement of Jesus. And you see, the challenge is there for us, isn't it? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And the question that we have to answer is this: am I following the light? He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Are you still walking in the darkness of sin and wickedness? Or have you been born again of the Spirit of God and see the light, and you follow the light day by day? And perhaps even sadder is this question: have you been born again and you've seen the light, but you've stopped following the light? You've stopped following the light in your everyday life. You've stopped following the light in your working life, in your social life, in your family life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Are you, believer, still walking in darkness? Thirdly, the great effect of following the light. The Lord Jesus Christ gives a wonderful twofold promise to those whom he urges to follow him as the light of the world. He says to them, they shall not walk in darkness, and they shall have the light of life. They shall not walk in darkness, and they shall have the light of life. What does it mean to not walk in darkness? I would suggest it means, first of all, that sin and confusion will not be the pattern of the believer's life. And although he will experience times of confusion, times of darkness, they will not be the constant experience of his life. Sin and confusion will not be the pattern of the believer's life. He will resist sin. He will fight sin. He will confess sin. He will repent of his sin. There will be times when he will fall. There will be times when there will be grief and bitterness of spirit because he has not lived up to what he has professed. But it will not be the pattern of his life. There will be light, and there will be liberty, and there will be a direction in his life. He will not walk in darkness. And because he no longer walks in darkness, he is able to see things clearly. If you walk in the darkness, you can't see things clearly. You know what it's like, even physically. In the dark, you stumble and you fall. But the believer who follows Jesus will not walk in darkness. He will be able to see things clearly. He will see God's way clearly. Because he will, with clear sight, read the scripture, understand the scripture, and know what it means for his own life. He will see clearly how he should live in a wicked world. He will see clearly how he ought to react with unbelievers. He will see clearly how he ought to act within the fellowship of the church. He will see clearly because he will be seeing by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he no longer walks in darkness, he will be able to see God's way because he lives in the light of God and he lives with God. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. We live in a time when there is tremendous moral confusion. When people don't even seem to know what sex they are. When children at primary school are told that they can be whatever they want to be. If they want to be a boy, it's okay. If they want to be a girl, it's okay. There's terrible, terrible moral confusion in our society. And sometimes there can be such an avalanche of propaganda through the media that even believers can become confused. Even believers can think perhaps they haven't got it right. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of life, we will be able to see God's way because we're not looking at the world. We're not looking at what the experts say. We're not looking at what society says. We're looking at what the Word of God says. And if everyone else says different, we say, here I stand. I can do no other. This is God's Word. And I will walk in the light of God's Word no matter what. And you see, if he walks and follows the light, he will be able to avoid the sin which causes him to stumble, because his eyes are open to the truth and he will have the guidance of God. Some of the things that cause us distress, some of the sins that we would seek to abhor, people in the world think they're nothing. They don't matter. They're not important. But if we walk in the light of God, if we follow Jesus, the light of the world, our eyes will be open to the truth, and we will see the traps that the devil sets. We will see the places where the devil pushes us to fall. We will see his snares and his traps and his devices, because we are walking in the light of the Lord. He says we will not walk in darkness. But he also says, if the believer follows the light of the world, he will experience great joy, no matter what the circumstances of his life may be. For the believer will know that it is the Lord who leads, even when it is through the valley of the shadow of death. The presence of the Lord will always bring joy to the child of God. He will not only not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. It is a wonderful thing to be able to walk in the light. But the Lord Jesus Christ promises even more. He says he will have the light of life. Not a light that is somewhere afar off, a light that we can see and follow, but we will have the light of life within us. We will be illuminated, as it were, from within. The light that belongs to real life. If walking in the light has to do with external behavior, this has to do with what is internal. The light of the world penetrates the very innermost part of the child of God. His mind is illuminated. What a wonderful thing to have the Lord Jesus Christ illuminate our mind, so that those thoughts, those ideas, those desires that are natural to us in our sinful state, those things are done away with by the light of the life of God within our minds. Our innermost mind is illuminated. Our thoughts are cleansed and purified. Our desires are made increasingly pure because we have the light within. Jesus says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of life. We have the light of the Word of God that illuminates us from outside, and we have the light of life within, illuminating us from within. The wonderful thing, and we can express it very, very simply, to have the light of life means having fellowship with God and knowing God. We sometimes, I think, use words lightly without really understanding their full import. Having fellowship with God and knowing God. The God who made the heavens and the earth. The one before whom all the nations of the earth are as a drop in a bucket or as a fine dust of the balance. This God has fellowship with sinful men and women like us. He makes his dwelling place with us. He talks to us. He leads us. He guides us. He cares for us. He loves us. To follow the light of life means to have the light of life. And this light will fill us with the fullness of God. It will truly be, as one old divine put it, the life of God in the soul of man. The life of God in the soul of man. Can there be anything greater? Can there be anything more majestic than to have the life of God within the soul of man? To have his light directing us from without, and his life directing us from within. I am the light of the world, said Jesus. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And isn't that what we most earnestly desire? To not walk in darkness, and to have the light of life. Let's pray together. Our gracious and eternal God, we pray that you would take what has been of yourself and apply it to our hearts. We give thanks, O Lord, that although we live in a world of manifest darkness and a world of seemingly increasing darkness, we give you thanks, O Lord, that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And we rejoice in his promise that he who follows him would not walk in darkness, but would have the light of life. Gracious God, may we walk in the light. May we never walk in darkness, and may we be aware of the light of life that is given to us. Help us, gracious God, to walk in the light, that we might glorify God, that we might show to men and women in the world who walk in darkness that there is light. There is light in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing praise is from Psalm 97. We sing from stanza 9 to the end. For thou, O Lord, art high above all things on earth that are. Above all other gods thou art exalted very far. Hate ill, all ye that love the Lord. His saints' souls keepeth he. And from the hands of wicked men he sets them safe and free. For all those that be righteous, sown is a joyful light. And gladness sown is for all those that are in heart upright. Ye righteous in the Lord rejoice. Express your thankfulness when ye into your memory do call his holiness. Verses 9 to 12 of Psalm 97 in praise to God.
Oh, yeah.
blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.